Thank you, men. All right, good to see all of you. If you have your Bibles tonight, John chapter 8. Lola, are you up there in the top? Who's up there? All right, Lola, go ahead and put up that slide for us. So we've been talking about the seven realities of experiencing God. You've heard from a number of our pastors. And so tonight we finish up the last of these realities. For a lot of us in this room, they're not new. We've heard them before, and we've sought to live by them. We've used them in our own lives to help determine future direction and purpose in our own life. So again, let me just go through them again. God is always at work around you. The Lord is at work regardless of what we may be doing. God is at work accomplishing His purposes. That's what we're going to be talking about in the book of Ruth. God's at work. God's at work. He's still at work today. He didn't take a break after He sent Jesus and the cross. No, the Lord is still working to finish up what needs to be done in this world. God is still at work. God's at work here tonight. God's at work in this church building on this campus and all what the youth are doing over in the youth area with our children. God's at work. God pursues a love relationship with you that is personal and real. So the Lord intends and wants to have a relationship with you that's alive and living. So have you talked with Jesus today? Have you talked to everybody else? Have you talked to Jesus today? How's your relationship with the Lord? Then God invites you to become involved with Him in His work. So there's an invitation going out. Sometimes people say, well, you know, Pastor Mike, I've served in the church all my life. Time for somebody else to serve. I'm not talking about church service. God's called you, if you're a disciple, to carry out the Great Commission. So where are you joining God in the invitation? He has an invitation out to you. So across this room tonight, since you're the ones here, God invites you to become involved with Him and His work. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through a number of ways we've learned. The Bible, prayer, circumstances. Circumstances aren't always what we want, are they? Sometimes good circumstances, sometimes hard circumstances. And sometimes those circumstances last for a long time. Sometimes they last for a lifetime. But God speaks through the Holy Spirit, through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and His church to reveal Himself and His purposes and His ways. Go to the next slide, Lola, if you would. God's invitation for you and I to work with Him always leads us to a crisis of belief. We have to make adjustments. We are going to have a time where we're not going to know what to do. You remember Moses, his experience, his crisis of belief. I can't talk. I don't know what to say. It requires us to trust God. So I ask you tonight, what are you trusting God for that only God can do? You can't do anything about it. Only God can do it. He's invited you to do something, but it's going to take real faith for you to do what God's called you to. This isn't just for preachers and missionaries. It's for all God's people. A change in your job, a change in your family life, a change. What is it that He's inviting you to do? It's going to require that you're going to have to trust the Lord. And then act. And then you must make major changes. Adjustments have to be made in our life in order to join God in what He's doing and what He's inviting us to do. Tonight, we come to talk about obedience. Did you know that the most significant mark of Christ's likeness is obedience? The most significant mark of Christ's likeness is obedience. I take you now to John 8. Jesus says these words in verse 29. He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. Jesus obeyed God the Father. Always. The mark of sonship is obedience. The mark of Christ's likeness is obedience. So tonight we come to think about our obedience. And then we read on. As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. That's what we call people to do all the time, don't we? We go out to our jobs, we go out in our life and our family. We call people to believe on Jesus, to trust in the Lord, to believe in Jesus. It's the first step, believing in Jesus. And then notice what Jesus says here. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, verse 31, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's a familiar verse. But we don't often tie it to the verse before it, obedience. Obedience is a mark of sonship. A mark that I am a child of God and a follower of Jesus is I obey Jesus' words as Jesus obeyed God the Father. Jesus said it, I always do the things that are pleasing to him. So here's where I want to start tonight. Can you say in your life tonight, I always do the things that please Jesus? You see, you come to know God by experience as you obey him. See, this is what we want. Well, I want to know God. Okay. Then obey him. Obey what he said for you to do. Obey him. And he accomplishes his work then through us. You see, obedience is the path to God using you. Obedience is the path. Not training, not relationships. Obedience is the path to being used by God. So tonight we think about obedience. And I want to make some observations about it tonight as we finish experiencing God. You see, I experience God and I'm a part of the work he's invited me to do to the measure that I'm willing to obey. Now, you know, if we have our children, the children's lesson on this is we all in this group looking around, knowing most of you as I do, your children and your grandchildren, one of the first steps and lessons in child rearing is to help them learn how to obey simple rules. Simple rules. We don't make it too complicated. We start with simple things with children. The Lord starts the same way with us. I want you to see his words here because there are several observations about obedience that are important. Notice again the principle. You come to know God by experience. As you obey him, he accomplishes his work through your life and through mine and through our church. Obedience is a practice, a life practice. It's not a one-time thing. Sometimes we talk about, you know, obey the gospel. Yes, obey the gospel. Obey for lifetime. Obedience is a lifetime commitment. So I have to pause in my life, just like you have to, as followers of Jesus, and say, how is my obedience? How am I doing in relationship to obeying the Lord? To these Jews who believed in him, he helped them understand what's important. Please look again in verse 31. If you abide, is the Greek word, in my word. If you abide in my word. That's a great word, abide. It means to be connected. It means to be settled. It means to stay, remain. It's a word of permanence. It's a word of permanence, church. So how do I express myself in being useful to God? I express myself in being useful to God because notice it's a conditional statement Jesus makes in verse 31. If you continue, if you abide in my word. So tonight I ask you, I've asked myself trying to prepare to preach, I'm just, again, am I abiding in the Word of Jesus? Am I abiding in these red letter words? These red letter words are important. Obedience is a lifetime commitment to doing what Jesus said. We do it for a lifetime. We learn these lessons when we first come to know Jesus, and we keep doing them, we keep obeying them, we keep obeying what He's called us to do. If you remain, if you abide in My Word. Jesus said in John 14:23, if anyone loves Me, he will keep My Word. So I can sing about loving Jesus, I can preach about loving Jesus, I can talk to other people about loving Jesus, but the measure of my love for the Lord is based on my obedience. Jesus said, if anyone loves Me, John 14:23, he will keep My Word. And My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. The presence of God, all of God coming to dwell inside of us, is conditioned on our commitment to obey Jesus. Why would we not want to obey Jesus, church? Why would we not want to obey Jesus? Obedience is a lifelong commitment to do what Jesus says. Obedience expresses true discipleship. So what does it really mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Jesus says here, if you continue, if you remain in My Word, then you are truly disciples of Mine. So we have it as here part of our message and our commitment based on the Great Commission. We've said that our mission statement is to follow Jesus and love other people like Jesus, tell the world about Jesus. So following Jesus. I follow Jesus as a disciple. And as a disciple is known for obedience. So when we think about obedience, it is the measure and expression of what it means to follow and be a disciple. So when we read the Lord's words, we read through the Gospels, we read these wonderful words of the Lord Jesus, pick whichever ones you want, we find ourselves having to ask, am I going to obey these words? Am I going to do what Jesus said? If anyone wishes to follow Me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, follow Me. So we have to obey. Obedience, then, notice the linkage here. There's a linkage in verse 31-32. It's a pattern. If you continue in My Word, first point of the first part of this linkage is you truly are a disciple. Then the second point of linkage is, and as because you're continuing in My Word, you will know the truth. We always want to know the truth. We're on a search for truth. God's truth is only understood as we obey the Lord. As we obey the Lord, we discover the truth of God. We see the truth of God in His work in the world. We see the truth of God at work in our own lives and in our families. We see the truth of God expressed. Obedience. Opens to us the truth of God. And everybody in here needs to know the truth of God. Obedience teaches you the truth of God's Word. And then obedience that teaches God's truth leads to real freedom. So when you want to be, you know, this is the irony of this. Obedience sounds very restrictive. Obedience sounds like it's keeping us from being free, but actually obedience is not restriction. Obedience is freedom. It sets you free. When you obey Jesus, you don't worry about anything else. You just obey Jesus and you're free. And notice the order and the truth. Notice if you continue My Word, then what happens? Well, you're a disciple, and a disciple will know the truth out of obedience, remaining in God's Word, obey, and the truth will make you free. You know the truth, you're free. There's no more questions. There's no more doubts. You're free. You're free to do what God's invited you to do. You're free. You're no longer restricted. You don't have to look around you all the time wondering what everybody else is thinking. It doesn't matter. All that matters is what Jesus has called you to do, and you obey it, and you're free. Isn't freedom a good thing? I'm starting to get worked up here. Isn't that good? I mean, free. We need to be free. I was thinking about this today, and I just, this is so beautiful, this experience, the linkage of this last reality is first obedience leads to then accomplishing His work. Now I want you to turn to John 3 and look at this other side of this. So when I'm free, I accomplish the work of God. But look at this verse is not often looked at, but I want you to see it as such a beautiful verse as we think about accomplishing God's work in our lives. John 3:21. John 3 is a famous part of the Bible, right? John 3. We know John 3:16. We know all these words. But when you come down, when you finish John 3:16 and you look at these amazing things Jesus says, He says something at the bottom of this section, verse 21, it's so good. But he who practices truth, oh my soul, there it is. The one who practicing truth is obeying. It's obedience. He who practices truth comes to the light. We got a lot of lights on in here. It's wonderful to have the lights on. You can see. Now it's dark outside. It's starting to get darker. We're going to go into the dark ages. What is it going to be from about, when's the time change? When is that? Man, it's going to be discouraging. I mean, it's going to be dark at like 2 p.m. We'll be in the dark ages till when? When will it change? When will we be back in the light? April? I'm already discouraged. Look at this. He who practices the truth comes to the light. It's like you're walking into the spotlights. Look at this. So that his deeds, the one who's practicing truth. See, when I'm obeying God, I'm doing things. I'm doing deeds so that the deeds of the obedient one may be manifested, may be seen. Look at this. Is this not beautiful? As having been wrought, the New American Standard says, as having been wrought or done by God. That is an unbelievable verse. And a better preacher than me would do a better job at explaining this. Do you see it? The willingness to obey Jesus breaks into a life of being used by God. It's such a beautiful thing. And we walk in the light. You know, you remember what Jesus said in the wonderful Sermon on the Mount? Let your light shine so that men may see you. Let your light. How do I shine the light? By obeying Jesus. That's why His words are so important. But he who practices the truth, I ask you tonight, as I have already asked myself, this searching question, Mike, are you practicing the truth? Practicing. It's all the time. It's a lifestyle. I wake up. Will I obey the Lord when I wake up? Will I obey the Lord at noon? Will I obey the Lord when it's time to go to bed? Will I practice the truth? Man, the light comes on. The truth. I'm practicing the truth and the light's coming on and my deeds are shown. Everybody sees what I'm doing. I'm not hiding anything. I'm free. I'm just obeying God. And I'm living in the experience of freedom. Well, all of that leads us, as we've done each time, to hear testimonies from our people. And I hope you've been here through the weeks as you could. And it's been so good to hear so many of our different people share their testimonies, their stories. So tonight we have another special one from somebody that the Lord's used in a very special way. Ricky, you're going to get those lights for us. And so let's watch this little story that we've got tonight about obeying God and seeing God accomplish His work through us. All right, let's play the video.
When Pastor Mike came to me about this topic, I knew exactly the story from my life that I needed to share. It was many years ago, probably 2002, and I was doing a Bible study by Beth Moore called Believing God. And Rita Decker and I had been exploring all these scriptures about believing God and trusting Him for our promised land. And I was driving away from her house, and I was just praying aloud. It was just me in the car, and I said, Lord, I want to know what my promised land is. What is it that you have for me? And like a weight from heaven, I felt God's presence, and very clearly He spoke to me, and He said, teach youth Sunday school. And at first I was confused, and I thought, is that really my promised land, Lord? Is that what you would have me to do? But the rest of the day I prayed through it, and I thought about it, and I knew this is what God had called me to do. And I'd never really thought about teaching youth. I had not been involved in youth Sunday school at all. But I called the youth minister we had at that time, and I just said, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm supposed to be teaching youth Sunday school. And I knew he was going to have nothing for me to do. It was 2 weeks before the school year began. I was sure he had all his Sunday school teachers lined up. And don't you know, he said to me, perfect. I need a Sunday school teacher for 12th graders starting in 2 weeks. And I said, you got it. I'm your woman. And I have been teaching youth Sunday school ever since. And I feel that when I teach teenagers, I can feel God's presence, not just in my life or in my speaking, but in that classroom. And every time that I leave after having studied and prepared and prayed over a lesson, I know for sure that that teaching was not for them. I'm sure they listen. I'm sure they benefit. I'm sure they hear God speaking to them. But that lesson was for me every week, every time, because I have poured myself into those scriptures. I have obediently prepared. And through listening to God and hearing Him speak to me, I am used by Him to accomplish His purposes. So if I am ever given the opportunity to teach your kids or your grandchildren in Sunday school, know that it's not just because somebody asked me. It's not because I like to teach, or it's because I like teenagers. It's because God called me to do it. And it was a scary thing to step out in faith and be obedient, but I have seen His hand at work over and over again in that step of faith, and I wouldn't trade it for anything else.
So Jesus said, but he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Jesus says, I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. And if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Could you feel that as Leslie shared her testimony? Could you feel it? There she was, expressing her willingness to obey the Lord and do, of all things, teaching high school kids the Bible. And what was that, 02? And that's been a while, hadn't it? And some of your daughters, granddaughters have been in there with her, and you've seen her work. So here we are. We finally come to this question tonight. Lola, if you'll put those slides back up for the realities. I want to go through those one more time. We're going to pray through these together tonight as we finish experiencing God. You know, we're never finished teaching the Word of God. Did you know that? There'll never be one meeting or one time where you say, okay, everybody's there, we covered everything, and we're good. No, what we do is we do this just like farmers take care of their land. We plant it, we harvest, we water, we plant, we water, we harvest. We just keep doing what we do. That's what we do here. We do it every week, every day. We practice obedience every day. We gather together as a church to hear God's word every day. Most of us in this room tonight have heard the very words, the very scriptures. Some of your teachers, you've taught these very words I read to you tonight. But we all have to be reminded day by day that God is working and is inviting us. Join me. Join me. Co-workers with God to accomplish advancing the gospel till Jesus comes. That's our mission. He's inviting you to do some things that none of the rest of us can do. But do you hear Him? Are you listening? Are you willing to obey? So tonight, we pray through these in a very personal way. That's how we're going to close tonight. We're going to close by praying through and saying to the Lord again, one more time. Look, this is the group that God chose to be here tonight. If you're here, you're here because God wanted you here, not just because you're waiting on your kids to get out of choir. You're here because God wants you here. You're here to hear what we've talked about tonight. And it's an opportunity for you to say, so how am I doing in relationship to obeying God? I don't seem to know what to do. Well, obedience leads you to know the truth, and I seem so in bondage. The only way to be free is to obey. So that's the invitation. And by the way, then God just starts using you. You're not worried about what He does. You just say yes to the Lord and let Him go. And He takes you from there. So let's bow our heads together. And I want to just take us through these. I'm going to just guide us through some prayer for a moment. And I want us just to use this time, no matter what our age. Again, I fight this all the time. Sometimes our people say to me, I'm just too old, Pastor Mike. Look. You're alive today because the Lord's chosen for you to be alive another day. So the question is, what does God want you to do with the days you have remaining? So let's begin. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for our friend Henry Blackaby, who many years ago discovered these things as You taught him. We thank You for the wonderful way You have used him. Most of us in here don't know him personally. Oh, we've been impacted by His teaching ministry. It's an example of what we're talking about tonight. He had to hear from You. He had to be willing to join You. He had to obey You, make changes in his life. And all of the blessings that have come around the world from people who've studied these amazing truths that are biblical truths because of His willingness to do it. Lord, in this room, we want to be people that You can use however You choose to use us. In the simplest of things, in the deepest of things. It's not our desire. We don't care how You want to use us. But we do want to be useful to You. So tonight let's begin by thanking the Lord for His work all around us. Let's just pause privately, quietly and say, Lord, thank You. You're at work in our world. Thank You, Lord, You're at work in our world. And then say, thank You, Lord, You're at work in our family. Thank You, Lord, You're at work in my marriage, if you're married. Thank You, Lord, You're at work in our church. And thank You, Lord, You're at work in me. We thank You, Lord, for Your work. We thank You for the work of God in a world that seems to be coming apart when everything seems to be the opposite. You're at work. We thank You for it. We praise You for Your work. We praise You, Lord, that You are a God at work. Then let's pray and say, Lord, forgive me if I've not had the right kind of loving relationship. Jesus said to the church, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in and I will have dinner with him and he with me. Have you shut the door on Jesus? Have you shut the door on Jesus? Tonight, is your love relationship with the Lord alive and real and strong and personal? It can be. All you have to do is say, Lord, I want to come back. I open the door again. Ask the Lord to warm your heart. Ask the Lord to get you out of your lukewarmness. Give you a hot, warm heart for Him, a love for Him. Then we ask that God help us to understand how He's inviting us individually, not collectively, but individually. What's He saying to you about what He wants you to do? So you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with my time? What do you want me to do with my abilities? What do you want me to do the way you made me? What do you want me to do? And then say to the Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. That's obedience now. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. And then we pray, Lord, take the circumstances, the Word of God, prayer, the church, godly counsel to help me understand and reveal yourself and your purposes and ways. We need, Lord, your leadership in our lives. We don't know what to do or what direction to go. We think we do, but we don't. We need every day. Today, what we had yesterday won't help us. We need what you show us your way. Show us your way. Every individual here, Lord, show them your way. Reveal to them your purposes. Reveal to them your ways. Why are you doing what you're doing in their lives? Why are you permitting things to go on in their life? Show them your ways. We go to the next reality. Lola, if you'll change that slide for us. Now the Lord invites us to work with Him, but there's coming a crisis. We know we're going to have to make some changes. When God's shown us what He wants us to do, now He waits on us. So tonight we pray, Lord, I don't know if I have the faith to do this, what you're calling me to do. It requires faith. And only God can give us that faith, the strength to do what He calls us to do. So perhaps tonight you're in this place, you're in the crisis of wondering, will I be able to do it? Can I trust God for what I don't know? So Lord, help us tonight. Individually, help us tonight. That in our crisis of belief, You would help us to have faith. And then Lord, help us tonight to go home and make the adjustments. It may be just in our mind. We have to think differently. It might be that we have to change some relationships that are not helpful to us in our walk with God. And they may be long-standing relationships, but they're not helpful. It may mean that we start new relationships. Lord, You know what's in our hearts and our minds. Show us the adjustments You want us to make. Just like Lord Jesus, You showed the disciples. Help us to walk in a way that honors You according to Your Word. And finally, that's what we say, Lord. We ask that tonight You would help us to hear Your Word and obey Your Word. We pray that You might help us to be true disciples of Jesus and obey. We sang it this morning, Lord, help us to live it, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey, trusting and obeying. Trusting and obeying, trusting and obeying. Help us, Lord, to be people who trust and obey. We so desperately need to trust and obey. And then, Lord, we leave it to You to use us however You want to. That's not our job. You know what You have for each of us. Multiply in this church, Lord, people who are useful for Your service. Multiply in this church by the hundreds people who are willing to be obedient to step forward and say, I'll do whatever Jesus wants me to do so that the gospel may be shared in this part of the world and the light would shine and that you would do your work through us. It's our prayer. We commit all of these weeks that we've spent, Lord, talking about experiencing God together. And we ask, Lord, that you would do your deep work in our lives. Stir us by the Holy Spirit. Help us to remember what you said tonight. I always do the things that please the Father. May what comes out of our mouth as our testimony be, we always do the things that please Jesus. May you be pleased with us because our hearts have been changed and we are committed to obey. We love you, Lord, tonight. With our heads still bowed, we're just going to remain seated in the quiet of this moment. Does anybody here need to step forward and make a decision for Jesus? We ask every time, you need to come and trust the Lord. You need to join this church. You need to do some kind of public action you need to take tonight. We never want to leave without inviting you to do that. We wait just a moment quietly. In just a moment, we're going to deal with these who've come. Does anybody else need to come? So the rest of us here, looking around, we're all part of the family here at First Baptist. So tonight, Lord, we ask that you would help us this week to maybe have a change in mind. Lord, every one of us has a few things on our list we just have not been willing to obey you about. And you bring it up to us all the time. You bring it up all the time. The Holy Spirit brings before us what we need to do, and we've not yet obeyed you. Forgive us for our disobedience. But help us tomorrow to have the strength to do what you've called us to do. And we thank you for the wonderful grace of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that has changed us and saved us. And may this week we find a chance when the light's shining on us because we're being obedient, may other people see Jesus in us. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. All right, Todd, come on up, folks.